your heart beats faster and faster.
Fresh off the Dixie, the haunted Dixie Highway, just south of the Ohio River. Nate, it must be Sunday night, cause this is the Ghost Minute Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right, paranormal broadcasting, where if you listen to Ghostly Talk every week and think of them as the Daily Show of the Paranormal, that must make us the Colbert Report. Oh, Stephen Colbert. Oh, wait, never mind, I'm back.
Hey gang, we are live from the beautiful Ghost Minute Demon Hunter Studios, and we're in the chat room all night long.
That's right, you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That's right, little brother. In case all you listeners out there were wondering, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
Paranormal Nation, this is your Sunday, May 11th, special Mother's Day broadcast of the G&D Show.
Ooh, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, I Am Haunted, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for I Am Haunted, Planet Paranormal, Blog Talk, and ParaX Radio. Wow.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, guys, ready for this? Tonight's guest, first up the bat, we got the star of the paranormal hit movie Children of the Grave that premiered this last Wednesday night on Sci-Fi Channel, Mr. Keith Hayes, president and founder of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society. He'll be talking about some of his real-life ghostly encounters on the set of the movie. Then later we got... Ready for this? I got to turn the page. Then a little later we got Gregory Myers, guys. He sits down with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter to talk shop tools, techniques to help you bag a ghost. Task Force style, only tonight and only on the G&D Show.
Ooh, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original
Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your hosts for tonight's show, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. This is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Everybody around the world, listeners, thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. How many times can I say G&D Show?
Sure to be. Oh, Sean, I'm sorry about my little Stephen Colbert moment there, but he's looking for new top friends on his MySpace, and I couldn't help but think about how wonderful that would be to be on the Stephen Colbert.
I know. I gotta friends. Say, I think we are the Colbert Report. I think we're the Colbert Report of the paranormal community. That's what I gotta say, man. That's all I gotta say.
I can't give us that high of a rating. I mean, he is, super spectacular and all that stuff. So.
Well, we could talk politics. You know, Obama and Hillary, they were in Indiana the last couple of weeks campaigning. Of course, you got Hillary won the state of Indiana. I don't speak for the entire state, but congratulations, I guess, Hillary. I'm just going to say that's paranormal within itself, folks. Ooh, go Democrats. That's all I got to say.
Uh-huh. I was talking to somebody recently about that whole situation, saying that Hillary's doing more for the Republican Party right now than anybody else could ask for.
Well, if they put Hillary in office, nobody will touch us at least 1 week out of the month.
Because
they'll be afraid to talk to her.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
There we go. That's better.
I listen. I know... The women get a bad rap sometimes on this show. Ladies, it's not to our female listeners because we love you. And I want to take this opportunity to dedicate my love for all of you and volunteer my services whenever needed. No, I just wanted to take this opportunity on behalf of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, because today is a very special day, Demon Hunter. It is May the 11th. You know what that is, little brother?
I would say that since I had to make the call home to Mom, that would be Mother's Day.
It is, in fact, Mother's Day. I got the Mamacita out today. I took her out to eat. I got her a big basket of flowers and tulips. Everybody that's a son to a mother needs to go out. They should have took care of Mama today, did all you can to call her and just say hi. I just wanted to say we love you guys. We love all the lovely, hardworking mothers across the land that listen to the G&D show and the ones that don't, I guess. And we love you. We don't always understand you, but we love you. So happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Gotta love them. Gotta love them. I know I love my mom.
You gotta love them. You gotta love them, because I tell you what, I don't even think there'd be a G&D show without mamas, right?
No, not at all. Hey, dude, I've got to run a few tests on the system right now. Do you have any stories ready for us?
You know what? I got all kinds of stories, Demon Hunter. You just point me in the way of the microphone.
Well, okay? One thing I know is you've never needed help finding the microphone. You're always right there.
Well, I'm not going to go ahead and talk about my weekend yet, because apparently we don't know if we're on the air yet or not. Is this true, Demon Hunter?
Well, I just tested our live broadband system, and we're definitely going out over our live broadband, the okay. High band. So, yes. I mean, and the low band are both going over, and I haven't gotten another call from I Am Haunted, so I'm assuming we're going out over I Am Haunted right now.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. We did the Mother's Tribute. Da, 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 da. I love you, Mom. And I just got to tell you about my weekend. I started off the show, of course, I was on the Haunted Dixie Highway this weekend. I was in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, everybody. Not Louisville, not Louisville, Louisville. A lot of people don't get that right. They say us Hoosiers can't pronounce things. I can. I speak on behalf of the entire state of Indiana, so... But we went down there. We went to Louisville this weekend. We went down to the beautiful 4th Street. That's where they have all the big nightclubs and they have the big concerts, stuff like that, Demon Hunter. I got to tell you, if you guys are ever in Louisville, Kentucky, you got to stop by 4th Street. They got all these little pubs. I went and ate at like this authentic British pub. All right. You wouldn't think you'd find a British pub that far south. You know what I mean? Across the Ohio River in Kentucky. But they did. They had it right there. And I just wanted to say real quick, guys, I had a beautiful weekend. I want to thank the people at Guinness. All the people at all the people at St. James Gate, Dublin, Ireland. I just want to send out a very warm, heartfelt thank you. Because it was great. If you guys could lower your prices, though, $5 a pint's just killing me. You know, it's really hurting me. But I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, we went down there. It was a beautiful walk. Downtown Louisville, I've never been down there. They have so many old historical buildings. They got the Science Museum where they had mummies on display. I didn't get to go see that, but they had live mummies on display there. They have the Louisville Slugger Museum, of course. If you guys have ever seen the movie Elizabethtown, it's kind of a chick flick, but it's cool. So, guys, don't discredit me anything. I did watch it. I thought it was kind of cool. And you got the Louisville Slugger Museum, you got the baseball stadium out there, you got all this cool stuff going on in Louisville. And I went at the end of the day after I ate, I went down on the Ohio River, and they got this little peak that you could walk on there. And I sat there on the river, wind blowing in my face, watching the little, I don't know, what do you call them, the river boats or whatever, push those big barges down the river. It was beautiful, Demon Hunter. It was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought about... I thought about gas prices and life in general, you know, and I'm still messed up. I haven't came to any conclusions on nothing, but it was pretty, man. It was like 71 degrees there yesterday, and you just couldn't ask for a better day. And I also got to send out a heartfelt thank you to our friends, the G&D show friends from the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society, Bobby T, Dell, Big Daddy Dave, and Tanya and Allie, and of course Renee. They all had us out last night. We started out, we went to Wick's Pizza. And that's off the beautiful Dixie Highway in Louisville, Kentucky. If you guys ever get down there, Wick's has got the best pizza in the world. And Bobby T and Dell and Dave took me out there, and they treated me like a king or a queen. Dell was kind of hitting on me. But they took me out there. We ate the world's greatest pizza, and then we went back to Dell's house. And let me just say, Jose Cuervo, he ain't no friend of mine. Yeah, Dale always has a bottle of tequila on him, and I try not to drink it, but somehow it happens from time to time. But those guys rock. I mean, as far as representatives of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society or ghost hunters around the world, you guys need to call Bobby T, Dale, Big Dave, Tanya, and Allie, one of those couples. And I think Bobby T and Dale and Dave, I think they are a couple because these guys work out. We were actually talking about, because last time we worked these paranormal conferences, Demon Hunter, especially we got Mid-South coming up in September, right? That's a big
right.
one.
That's right.
That's big unveiling of your Hollywood premiere is going to be. The American Ghost Watchers 2, Dr. Dawn's ASS, that's going to be premiered this year at the I don't know what annual that is. Do you know, Demon Hunter? Mid-South Paranormal Conference?
It's in September, end of September. Well, you know we're going to be having the host of that tonight on.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
He'll be able to give us more information, but I believe it's the last weekend in September.
Right. I still have his panties, actually. He signed them and autographed them, gave them to me last time I was up there. It's been a couple years back. So I think this is like their fifth one or sixth one they're having. But, guys, if you can make it out to Mid-South, you got to go. And if you see Bobby T, Dale, Dave, Big Daddy Dave, or Tanya and Allie, you got to go up to them and you got to say hi because these cats treat you like royalty. Hey, they treat me better than I'm supposed to. So.
Hey, bro, I just need to cut in there for a second and say we are broadcasting. Anybody who needs to listen to us out there, they can hear us on OmniSound or I Am Haunted Radio tonight. So we're
really?
Good. Yep, we're all good.
I wonder if I don't want to hear us. Where can I go for that?
Well, don't leave yourself open, Sean. I'll tell you where to go.
But anyway, man.
By the way, man, I just needed to say while I got the mic for a second here that people have been complaining to me a bit lately about how much I smoke during the show. Because I'm always smoking during the show. So I just want everybody to know.
What about my excessive drinking during the show? They say anything about that?
Well, no. I was trying to keep that a secret, but I'm sure we'll hear about it now. But so everybody knows, I'm not smoking cigarettes in the studio tonight. I've got a nice big Oliva G cigar here. It's an O-Series. It's an O-Series Oliva G cigar, and I'll be smoking that throughout the show. So don't worry, I won't be smoking cigarettes.
Did you say Oliva? Isn't that a male enhancement pill?
I wouldn't know, Sean. Please tell me more about it.
I'm just saying, they got commercials, brother. Look it up, Oliva. Hey, everybody, Joe Smith at Demon Hunter Show. We're sitting here taking our whatever it is, man, our male enhancement.
I always did feel kind of sparky after these cigars, so.
Hey, Dale's in the chat room. He said it's going to be the seventh annual Mid-South Conference, guys, so you got to get ready for that. It's going to happen in September. You got to come because the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is going to be there.
That's right. We will be there.
We
will.
But I got to say, you know, Dale and Bobby T, they're like two of the main honchos there in Louisville Ghost Hunter Society. Of course, you got Keith. He's the big king, you know what I'm saying? But Bobby T and Dale and Dave, they were all there last night. And I'm starting to feel a little – I'm getting some mixed signals from these guys, okay? Because every time I go into town,
yeah,
these guys keep getting bigger and bigger. So every time I go in, they tell me about they've been out the gym. They're like, man, I pumped 280 pounds last night on the bench, you know, and Dale's shirts keep getting tighter and tighter. It used to say LGHS. Uh-huh. Right now it just says Louisville Ghost Hunter Society, and that's just on his left breast. You know what I'm saying? So, this cat's getting huge, and so is Bobby T. So I'm kind of getting scared because, you know, you go out here. You're in the hills of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They get you down there on them dirt roads. They know I'm a radio star. So,
hey, you're no Scott L.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not, but I'm trying. But they brought Dave had baby oil last night, and they said that when they start doing these buff shows, I don't know, what do you call them when you go flex your muscles and people take pictures?
I would call that a muscle show, but okay.
Yeah, Dave from the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society, he's going to be the oil boy. He's going to oil them up. So,
hey, bro.
I told him.
We got to take a second here to talk about the 3-Minute Mayhem we received this week.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that.
Because, you know, a while back we sent it out and told people that if they wanted to talk about a spooky moment or a scary moment, record it and send it in to us. And nobody ever did, so we stopped talking about it. And we actually got one this week, and it was about something that happened on our show.
That is amazing. I heard a little bit about it, but I've been excited all week. I need to know.
We received an EVP sent to us by one of our listeners who heard it during last week's show. Now, I have some ups and downs about the idea of this EVP, but it's definitely something that I didn't catch, so I'm glad somebody else did. So why don't we take a second and listen to it really fast?
I'm scared, but go ahead.
Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. This is Uncle Bonehead from up there in Michigan, and I'm a new listener. And your last interview there with Donna, I listened to it off of the Podomatic. And I don't know if you guys know this or not. Maybe you should go back and check, double check me there. But I think you guys had an EVP during Laura Moon's phone call, the first one, when she was breaking up and you guys were losing her. You hear Donna asking if she was, you know, there. And then you hear something that sounded almost like it says, "Ask Sean." And, here, just play the clip.
You said tomorrow was your birthday?
Yes.
Okay, well, first and foremost, happy birthday. Well, if I can get you to repeat what your question was, because it was really hard to hear.
Laura, are you still there?
Guys, even though I do know how to edit audio, and because music is my hobby, I did not do that. Go, please go check that out and double check me, because that creeped me out so bad, and I rewound it and listened to it like 500 times this morning listening to that. And when I first heard it, it creeped me out so bad I drove off onto the shoulder of the road. It just totally raised the hair on the back of my neck. So didn't have no accident, thank God, but you know, it did. It scared the bejeebies out of me. So please, would you guys check that out and double check me and let me know if that was meant to happen or if it was a real EVP that you guys recorded live on the air during an interview. I won't change my ghost hunters. We'll see you.
Thank you, Uncle Bonehead.
I like that. Was that Uncle Knucklehead?
Bonehead. Uncle Bonehead.
I'm sorry. Uncle Bonehead, we love you, brother. Thanks for listening. Demon Hunter, I just got to say, I'm amazed by this audio that our listeners, they took that much time. They've listened that closely that they picked that up. And I got to say, that freaks me out because you know for a fact, because you control the boards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, we lost Laura.
Yep.
And that psychic lady, Donna Jackson, it was on last weekend, she said that she communicates with the dead. She does it in a different way. She actually would ask people for psychic readings, and she would get the voices of their dearly departed, would come back and give them the psychic reading.
That's right.
So that's kind of loony, man. That's kind of different. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've looked over the tape. I've played the sound back. It's playing at an interesting hertz cycle there. Definitely not any of us talking. Could it have been somebody trying to get through on the phone human? I didn't have anybody coming through at that time. Even Laura couldn't get through. We had already lost her. I've sent it to Laura and asked her to review it, but she hasn't gotten back to me with any information that it was her. But, you know, we were going over an internet phone system, so could it have been static or something? It could have been, but it could have been something else. Like you said, we were dealing with a psychic who claims to speak to people over the airwaves this way, so.
That was not paranormal.
No, I hear that all the time when I'm with Sean.
I've become
quite normal now.
We're getting so good, even the dead tune in to ask Sean.
Next week, we'll be having Elvis and President Kennedy on our show.
No, screw that. I'm going for Lincoln, baby. I want to know exactly what happened to the White House back in those days. I need to know. But, yeah, that is amazing, and I just got to say kudos to him. I mean, that is awesome. I hope we send him a gift basket or something full of roses and candies and edible panties or something, did we?
No, I can't say I had any extra edible panties laying around, Sean.
Well, he's got a radio show, does he not?
He has a show, yeah. And I believe we'll even be bringing that up later on during the day. We'll be playing an intro with his information on it.
An intro. Well, you know, that's very interesting. I know Ghostly Talk had something similar happen like that on their show. But, folks, I'm telling you, the show's getting so hot, even the dead are tuning in.
Hey, can I take a quick moment and mention a weird location of the week?
Well, you're ruining my punchline, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. Give me your punchline. I'm afraid, but go ahead.
I was just saying, why would the dead say, "Ask Sean," of all people?
Yeah, really, I try to avoid asking Sean anything, so I don't know. But our weird location of the week is from Weird Texas. It's the Marfa Lights, and many Texans have seen the lights. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing to accomplish. All you have to do is drive down and travel through Marfa. The Marfa Lights are one of the best known I hope I'm saying that right. Examples of the mystery lights in the United States. To see the lights, travel east from Marfa on US 90 until you get to the Marfa Mystery Light viewing area. Whether or not these lights are real, the stars, lights off of cars or planes flying by, no one has come up with an answer yet. But if you want to check out the Marfa Lights, you can head on down to Marfa, Texas, or go over to our friends Mark and Mark over at Weird US, www.weirdus.com. Weird New Jersey and Weird US, they're our buddies, telling you heard it from us here, and see what other weird stuff is going on.
What kind of weird stuff's going on, little brother? I need to hear about it right now.
Well, for one, I'm talking to Sean Burris, and that gets pretty weird right there.
That is weird. But you know what? We bring up a lot of goofy topics, guys, on this show. And this is one that I go over a lot of times to ParanormalAbout.com. So kudos to those people. I get a lot of our material for the show. And you guys should go to About.com. Just Google ParanormalAbout.com, and you guys will find all kinds of amazing news stories on the paranormal on a daily basis. And sometimes monthly basis, as it comes. But they had a good topic that came up. Do we have a couple minutes? Do we?
You have a couple of minutes, and then I have a couple of minutes, and then we will go to a break and come back with Gigi. So go ahead.
Well, it's a great topic they were talking about for ghost hunters. Why are ghosts seen wearing clothes? And they talked to a lot of our friends, a lot of the friends of the show, and they got a lot of these big fat cat, paranormal fat cats answers back, and I'm in love with it, right? So they said, why are ghosts seen wearing clothes? And it says,
Sean wants to see all his ghosts naked.
Right. Well, I'm naked right now. I mean, I stay naked, but apparently a lot of ghosts don't. So it says it's a question that ghost researchers often are confronted with, concerns the fact that ghosts are most often seen wearing clothes. It is also a question that skeptics raise to support their argument that ghosts are figments of the imagination. But it's a perfectly legitimate question. If ghosts are human spirit energy, why do their manifestations include the manufactured convention of clothing? After all, clothes are not part of our bodies, our spirits, or our souls. Or are they? And it says that he posed this question to a number of respected paranormal researchers. And, of course, we're going to start off with the big man, T.T., much love for Troy Taylor from the American Ghost Society. And Troy answered back, and it says that no one really seems to know, but it's possible that in most cases ghosts seen wearing clothes are simply residual images, Demon Hunter. And apparently a lot of the paranormal investigators have said the same thing. They think these cats are residual imprints or memories that linger on the atmosphere of a place like a recording. A ghost of this sort would have no personality and is simply like an old movie that just keeps playing. And then they went on to say high levels of electromagnetic energy can cause people to have vivid dreams, nightmares, and even hallucinations. In other words, people are seeing things as a result of exposure to this energy. If spirits have any sort of control over the energy, they are now compromised. Or even if their personalities are somehow manifested in the energy, then I would think it is possible for the witness to see the spirit as the spirit sees itself. So that's what Troy Taylor said. Of course, it goes on, and we got a good friend of the show. Well, first off, Richard and Debbie Sennett. From GhostStalker.com comes on, and they said that the ghost appears wearing clothes because that's how they appear to us. In our era, clothes are part of what we are. They are part of how we see ourselves, and this mental image is the one projected and picked up by many, okay? And then we go to our next one, Jeff Bellinger, good friend of the show, of course, from GhostVillage.com. And Jeff steps in, and he says, in many cases, a ghost is a projection of a person, whether that projection is coming from our own heads, some intelligent energy swarming all around us, or imprinted on the location itself. I don't know. Consider this, though. If you were to picture yourself somewhere, it's likely you would envision yourself wearing clothes, looking comfortable. Of course, he's not talking about me because I'd be naked. But it says, yet presentable, and maybe you'd even drop a few pounds in your projection. It says very few people would picture themselves naked. Of course, he talks about me in this article. Maybe you project yourself bleeding from the gunshot wound you sustained in your last moments of life in order to make a point to whoever receives this projection. The apparition is always representation of something, someone else. It's not an entity until itself. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so fleeting. Okay, and then you got Stacy Jones from the New York Ghost Hunter Society. Of course, she's the ghost cop, I believe. And she says, I believe that ghosts can show themselves in whatever form they want. If it's a spirit, we're more comfortable at a certain age. They may show themselves at that time. I'm not too familiar with any person who is comfortable showing themselves in the nude. Of course, she's not talking about me again. She hasn't met me yet, because I am. Therefore, they wouldn't want to show themselves natural in ghost form. So, you know, and it raised up a hot topic with me, Demon Hunter. They talk about this with the ghosts showing themselves in clothes. And if you think about it, it really is unique, because clothing is not a part of this astral projection or this electromagnetic energies or whatever. So I made some notes, and I said, if we assume that when we die, we have this magical power to project our images to people, right?
Right.
Are you with me all the way?
Well, already I'm disagreeing with you, but go ahead.
I just think that when we die, this is my opinion, one man's opinion only, I think it's best broke down, guys, in a simple level. Okay, if we could do a test, if we knew the clothes worn by ghosts, if they were the clothes that these cats were buried with, and then we could actually search this back, know what the Armanti or whatever sweaters they were wearing when they were buried, and then maybe the energy in the fiber of the clothing itself could somehow attach itself to the energy of the soul. Maybe that's how these ghosts are appearing. If we knew what these cats were buried in, maybe we could be able to tie the knot. Because I don't
you think they'd be more likely to appear in their favorite sweater or their favorite suit or something like that, Sean? Personally, I think it all falls back to one of the earliest questions you take in philosophy, which is, why is a chair a chair? Because we perceive it as a chair. Why would ghosts come back with clothes on? Because they perceive themselves with clothes.
Well, you know what, Demon Hunter? I thought about that too, and that's coming dangerously close to hallucinations. And of course, we know high levels of EMFs are surrounded by ghost activity. And we know high levels of electromagnetic energies can cause hallucinations. So that brings us back. Are ghost sightings hallucinations?
Well, that would mean that we are perceiving them with clothes, not that they are perceiving themselves with clothes.
Right. So there could just be like this big void, open spot of electromagnetic energy, and we perceive
because,
it as a child.
Because if you saw, if it was up to our perception, Sean, you'd be seeing naked ghosts all the time.
That was my next question. If this is the case, how do I get more naked chick ghosts to come back to my room?
Hey, bro, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Gigi. In the meantime, we'll play a few promos, and stay tuned for this month's Dead Letters with Chrissy P.
All right, guys, stick around. Gigi's up next, and Dead Letters, sure to be a hot one. Stay tuned.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Once, upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore.
Welcome to Dead Letters. I'm Chrissy P., short fiction writer and avid reader, and here are my picks for paranormal reading this month. What lurks in the woods, in the deepest jungles, in the murky depths? For centuries, humans have had stories about mysterious and often dangerous beasts. The Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, the Mongolian Death Worm. We're so fascinated we have a whole branch of science devoted to proving whether or not these creatures really exist. In the world of fiction, of course, there's no need to look for proof. These creatures do exist, and in the hands of writers, their adventures not only provide a good shudder, they comment on the human condition. Take, for example, the just-over-flash piece, Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Chupacabra. by Steve G. over at Cryptozoology.com. Steve's list of rules for dating his daughter, the chupacabra of the title, is a comedy rather than a chiller, but it's really about personal and peer rejection. We feel bad for Chupi because she doesn't fit in no matter how hard she tries. She's that awkward teen we all used to be. Going a shade darker, there's Neil Ayers' Bury Him in the Rose Garden over at The Three-Lobed Burning Eye, an e-zine that's been publishing top-notch creep-fest fiction for years now. Ayers weaves a finely motifed, heartbreaking tale about a creature born of sin. But the tale speaks volumes about our concepts of morality, beauty, and the cruelty of the world. Tony Early's The Cryptozoologist, available in the New Yorker's archives at www.newyorker.com, is about a woman who's being haunted by something eating the apples on her isolated orchard property. But she's tortured by memories of her strange marriage, her deceased husband, and her sad and lonely life. It's really all about what's eating her, until she reaches out to make peace with, well, I won't spoil it. Perhaps our fascination with the existence of such creatures stems from the fascination with finding the undiscovered parts of ourselves. Because in ourselves, if we look hard enough, we can always find something ugly, something that frightens us. Renegade jealousy, blind rage, immoral tendencies. We may be terrified of what's lurking in the woods beyond our yards, but if you ask me, we would do well to worry more about the reflections in our own mirrors. You can find links to these stories over on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show forums under the Dead Letters section. Until next time, happy reading, and here's to sleeping with the lights on.
The American Ghost Society's 12th annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunt at Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk Radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
Hi, this is Marie D. Jones, author of Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena, sold everywhere, bookstores near you. And I love the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Those guys kick. Oh, I can't say that on the air, can I? Well, they rock, and I'd marry them both if I lived in Utah. Listen to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Whoa. I just want to say that Mary D. Jones, she is the hottest author I think I've ever met, and she has proclaimed her love for us, Demon Hunter.
That's right, she has. She'd marry us both. Oh, we got to move to Utah now.
I know. I'm going to move to Utah right away. You sound kind of soft, brother. Are you, like, biting the pillow right now, or?
No, I'm not, but I turned down my speaker because we're hearing a lot of scratching over the line, like somebody scribbling on paper, so...
Gigi scratching again?
I think Gigi's scratching, so we better ask her the important question so we can get started.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo!
Twin City!
Yo!
Twin City!
Yo! Voice
5-9. Y'all wanna make a movie? Well, we got the boy. Yeah, who wants this Gigi scratching?
You know they got cream for that, Gigi.
I was like, what is going on? Okay.
I've used it a couple times myself. It's very effective.
Hey, when you don't feel fresh enough, you just have to... Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway.
You guys sound so light right now. I hope I don't sound this light.
No, you don't. You sound fine.
To ever sound...
Do I sound sexy, though?
No comment. So, Gigi, how was your week?
It was phenomenal, guys. It was a lot of work because I actually moved studios. So Gore Girls officially moved out of one studio into another to try to bring you a better broadcast. So it's been a crazy week. I'm like, okay, setting stuff up and getting ready and all that good stuff.
Very cool.
Yes, of course,
cool.
I moved in the towel. So, psh.
Oh, God. That is hot. That is so hot. You're wearing the towel right now?
Yes, I am. You know, I mean, I don't have time during the week to do much but concentrate on G&D, so I can't do laundry. So I have to just do the show in the towel. I mean...
Well, we appreciate it, and we expect more.
We there you go, Demon Hunter. We appreciate it.
You make fun of my soft S's one more time, Sean, and I'll tell people about how you got that rash and who what the guy's name was. So
you could at least say, girl, come on, Demon.
Hey, just because we tell the truth, all right?
That's right. We do. Well, you guys shared hotel rooms with me, so it's your fault.
I did not encourage you to pick up that biker.
You know what, though? We just had this come in, guys, straight off the G&D show presses. Kenny B. of Pyra, of course, said Nathan did some pillow biting in a movie that's coming out.
Just because this is the movie section of the show, let's not mention
there
that.
You go.
But
you have to go to the special over 21 section in your local video store, folks.
That's right.
Gigi, right. It's called The Man in Black, Home Alone 2. Men, what do we do?
There was like 6 movie titles in one.
That's right.
I was waiting for like Over the Rainbow and Under the Bridges of Madison County and
Deep in the Pillow. I don't know. But
With you and Nathan were both the small people. I can't say midgets, so small people. I think that would be hilarious. I could carry you guys with me to the conferences on one shoulder, each one of you.
Pack us in your suitcase when you want to take us somewhere. Yeah, Sean. I get it. Hey, Nathan would
The G&D show.
Hey, that's copyrighted, isn't it?
She changed enough notes in it. I think we can get away with it. But Gigi, before we get started with this week's movie, you want to hear who our international friends were this week?
I do.
Okay, I finally found out where in Australia these people are listening to us.
Aborigines.
I had to actually pull up an Australian map and line it up with our digital map from the broadcast, and I think it's pronounced Oondinantia, Australia. Oondanadatta.
Oondanadatta, Australia.
So apparently Oondinantia, Australia, were big.
We're huge. We're huge in... We're huge in La-di-da, Australia.
La-di-da.
I pressed the Sean Burris button there, but he doesn't even warrant it. Edmonton, Canada, Vancouver, Canada, and Nottingham, England. Nottingham, England there, Gigi.
Hello, governors.
So there we go in Oneonta, Australia. Oh, and also in Manila, Philippines.
Manila. You did not just say Manila. That's hysterical. No offense to all my friends and good neighbors in the Philippines, but Manila? Come on.
How is it pronounced,
you have
then?
A Philippine person outside your window.
How is it pronounced, Gigi?
No. I was laughing at the name of it.
I believe it's Manila, Philippines, yes.
Is it not so funny? I mean, am I the only one that thinks I'm funny?
Did you guys hear the horn came back?
Unfortunately, I heard, Sean. And actually, I like the horn better than the fart machine. But
it was actually behind the desk.
I do, too, because the horn, like, we had big controversy over the horn. We had a poll up, and people were like, ban the horn. Eat the horn. So it was like this big, like, G&D icon now. It's sort of like the little tiki thing that they had in Brady Bunch that brought you bad luck.
All I got to say is do not hate the player, hate the game. Okay,
it's funny, no matter how many times we've tried to get rid of that horn, like I think I've seen Nathan like throw it out a window, you know, it just keeps popping up. It just keeps, it'll always be in the hotel room laying on the bed like,
They're just cheap and Sean keeps buying more of them. But I have to relight my cigar here, Gigi. Why don't you tell us what the movie of the week is?
Ooh, cigars. See, Nathan, The Demon Hunter, folks, get you started on that cigar stuff. He took me to a cigar shop.
That's right, the Butthead's Tobacco Emporium.
How appropriate, yeah. Demon Hunter. Butthead's. It's a shame we don't have any interns, you know?
I'd be sending them down to Butthead's to get my cigars.
Sure, sure. Well, I wouldn't be sending them anywhere. They'd stay right here.
So anyway, the movie of the week. See, I find it best if we just cut over Sean.
There we go.
We can avoid lawsuits and who cares? I got enough lawsuits on my end. It doesn't even matter.
As long as she throws the dress away, it's okay. Okay, proceed, Gigi.
Gigi, what was that? Bonnie and I got arrested that one weekend for skinny dipping. And then, you know, I get arrested for like indecent exposure because I'm wearing a towel. Come on, it's an outfit, people.
Yeah.
So I had to review this, guys, because next week, and I'm very excited, call me a geek, whatever, I don't care, I'll send zombie sheep everywhere for y'all, but next week, on Friday, comes the second installment of the Chronicles of Narnia, and that would be Prince Caspian, which I have no idea, because I read the first book, so I really have no idea what's going to happen. Because I never bothered to read past that.
Not saying
it's like Manila. Not saying it was bad or anything. I we read it when we were kids, and I just never bothered to go anywhere past that. But, my God. So I had to review. I thought it only fitting to review the first Narnia because it actually came out, I think, 3 months before we actually started our first G&D show.
All right, I'm looking into how to mute Sean right now.
Yeah,
I'm trying to ask for it.
I was having like a reminiscing moment of the first show, and I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't know. Okay. I'm in the sound when I vomited. I don't know.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm done. Okay.
I don't care, Sean. I was just like, what? I don't remember that in the first show ever. Was I high during that show? What happened?
That was Narnia Part 1.
It was Narnia. That was the whole movie review right there. And we're done. That was good. Go see it. That might make things more simple for people. I don't know. Since half of our country is just into TNA and explosions and doesn't actually care to like watch a good film. So
TNA, let's expand on that. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about the film that Gigi's reviewing for the week, Sean.
Isn't that like the After Hours G&D special that you guys are doing? It's kind of like, what was that show with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew? Oh, God, I can't think of it now. The Loved One. Oh, why am I blanking? Oh, I used to listen to it. It's hysterical. It's kind of like that. You two are going to be like that. You're going to be doing the little G&D love sessions, helping ghost hunters, lonely ghost hunters find other lonely ghost hunters, you know?
Oh, I do remember that show, but I can't remember the name of it either. So.
I know.
That's okay. I can't remember the name of our show half the time, but
I can't even remember my name, so let's just move on. Anyway, no, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Okay, it came out in 2005, the tail end of 2005, came out for the Christmas season. It was directed by Andrew Adamson, who actually did Shrek. So, I mean, that doesn't really pose a positive thing here because we've got, like, this whole G-rated kitty thing going, and you're like, oh, okay, Gore Girl's reviewing
it's
fluff. Well, half the horror movies I review happen to be fluff. But moving on. This is actually about these four kids are trying to escape the ravages of World War II, and they find themselves in the care of an eccentric professor who owns a mysterious wardrobe that leads them to the world of Narnia. Not Manila, Narnia. Narnia is a world inhabited by deep magic, an evil white witch, and some crazy talking creatures. But little do they know, but by stepping into the wardrobe, they have fulfilled their destiny and freed Narnia with the aid of a majestic lion called Aslan. Now, kids, I feel like I'm storytelling now. Light the fire! When I first saw this movie, I wasn't sure what to expect because C.S. Lewis's infamous novel grade school kids everywhere were assigned to read in school. I mean, I wasn't really sure. It is kind of kid fluff, but I was actually happily surprised because what I seriously thought would turn into like a Shrek kind of thing, even though Shrek had some adult humor, just wasn't as dark as the original Narnia novels. But anyway, this turned out to be visually like it had all the darkness and apathy of the novels themselves. So I thought it was awesome. I was like, whoa, okay, we're not going all like, you know, like preschool Harry Potter on us. We're actually, like, enveloping all these crazy things that they had going on. There's so many eternal struggles in this. This is, like, the ultimate story of good versus evil. And, yeah, you have a lot of kid stories out there, good versus evil, right versus wrong. It's kind of the eternal thing to teach kids this. But, I mean, this book is really, it's like the later novels of Harry Potter, where how dark a person can be, how twisted your subconscious is, you know, how your spirit is evolving and trying to learn and grow as a human, and basically through all our bumblings and our rantings, you know, trying to, like, figure ourselves out and our place in the universe and get through this meaty sack of a body that we have and try to, you know, accomplish things in the world. I mean, so there's the feelings of awkwardness, of being left out. I mean, this is just, it's like I said, it's the eternal themes. And, okay, I am not an overly religious person. I'm not even really a religious person. I respect every religion. I respect everybody's relationship to their God or their energy or whatever they want to call it, the Force, if you're in the Star Wars, whatever. I respect everybody's opinions on everything. And I think, hey, whatever floats your boat, you know? But I'm not a big fan of watching overly religious movies because I don't want to be pounded in the head with one
or midget porn.
Yeah, right? Well, I'd rather be pounded in the head with midget porn. That might be fun. But and I understand, Sean, you have the most vast array of midget porn this side of the Mason-Dixon.
Did you just say ninja porn? I got ninja porn.
I said midget, but I guess they could be midget ninjas.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, like, I'm not even going to get into it because we're going to get letters. But anyway.
Yeah. We love you, Chuck.
I'm behaving. Yeah, I know, really? I'm like, oh, I can't say that.
Yes, because Nathan the bad man will get on you about it.
Do you guys ever realize what
is
that?
No, it's just the man. It's the man. You know, the FTC and all these man.
What's that plastic floaty thing in the bottom of the Guinness cans? Do you guys know?
Sean's tongue. But
you guys write into the forums. I need to know what the white plastic thing is in the bottom of the Guinness drought cans. Draft. I'm sorry.
Sean's drunk, which is not unusual. But
he's counting about six of those little things right now that he's drank since the beginning of the show. But go on, Gigi.
You know, Sean, I know why you're drinking those, because you're trying to figure out what that thing is. So the only logical way is to consume the beer to get a better glimpse of what it is.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna research a little bit more. Yep,
okay,
still haven't
Gigi.
Found it.
Please go on, Gigi. Gigi?
Did we lose her?
Gigi? I think we lost Gigi.
I think I... I'm sorry. I opened the can and she went off the air.
Well, that's not good, is it? So...
Well, it's not... Gigi, call us.
She can't call us back, Sean. And she only has 2 minutes left of her segment, so let her finish her review.
2 minutes.
Hello?
Hello, Gigi.
Did you get scared?
We're talking about Guinness beer. All of a sudden I was cut off. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The man cannot cut me off for talking about beer. Come on, man.
I'd like to thank the people of Dublin, Ireland for...
for cutting us off the show. No.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what I was talking about anymore. Anyway, yes. Religion. So, C.S. Lewis actually wrote this novel. I mean, it's very heavily Christian-based. I mean, you can basically just take the Bible and this and just assimilate it and find all these things. Like, oh, okay, well, this is like this. And, like, Aslan equals Jesus. I mean, it represents Jesus, represents his resurrection, all this stuff. Like I said, I'm not really a religious person at all, so you're lucky that I knew half this stuff. But, yeah, so, you know, and I think there's a thing about Moses and the Red Sea and all this crap, but...
all this crap. Go on.
Well, I wasn't necessarily saying religious crap. I was...
Is that biblical terms?
I was thinking about the movie. All this crap happens in the movie. Anyway, no, but like I said, I'm not really a big fan of religious movies of people that, you know, if you're representing your point of view in a way where you're like, hey, take it or leave it. You like it? Cool. You don't? Oh, okay, whatever. You know, whatever floats your boat. If you're coming off it like that, that's cool because you're not trying to pound your ideals into somebody's head. I can't stand it. History is full of it, of people trying to conquer other people, trying to control them, trying to manipulate how people think. Our government yes. is our government's a sterling example of trying to conform everybody to one person's ideal. But
pound away, people.
I'm not a big fan of that. No, Gorgorl doesn't like that. Gorgorl's kind of rebellious against that. Mm-hmm. But so I wasn't a big fan. But this movie, you can actually get past that because it's such an endearing story. I mean, it doesn't even matter that it was based on Christian tones. You know, it's just good versus evil. You know, it's just when you were a kid, you wanted the bad guy versus the good guy, and you wanted a battle, and you wanted this. And I mean, it's just. It's awesome. I mean, there was a phenomenal cast. James McAvoy, who played Mr. Tumnus. Tilda Swinton put on an awesome performance as the White Witch. I mean, just great characters, you know, people that you could actually feel for or be frightened of. Tilda's kind of frightening as it is, so works. But there were a few negative reviews about this movie, people saying that the children are too militaristic or violent and that the story promotes solving your problems with your fists. If you have a crazy lady that's about to kill you, you tell me you're just going to stand there and be like, oh my God, here is a flower. Don't hurt me. No, you're going to try to protect yourself. That's all the kids were doing. And I mean, it's not promoting to kids violence. It really isn't. It's up to the parents to teach their kids right from wrong to begin with. So don't go blaming filmmakers yet again for something the parents should be instilling from birth. But I love how everybody just blames filmmakers for things. You don't like the movie? Guess what? Don't watch it. It's so easy. Don't watch the movie. Turn the TV off. Don't go to the theater. Don't pay $8. Don't buy the DVD for $16.99. Why are people making this a big deal that filmmakers are to blame for everything? It's easy. Turn it off, people. So I have to side with the filmmakers on this one. I don't believe in that. I think kids are smart. Kids, you know, they're pretty cool on this stuff. They know that they're not going to run out and go slay things or that lady looks evil, let's slay her. No, it's just classic right from wrong. It's just
she's a witch, burn her.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. We're going to have a new Salem witch trial going on started by the kids of the country.
Come on, no, Nathan, I mean, Monty Python.
I'm trying to let Gigi finish.
People are just insane. That's all it is people are just too insane these days, and everyone's looking – we have a disposable society. Everyone's looking for a quick way out. That's all it is. But I give this one an 8 out of 10. So.
8 out of 10. 8 out of and 10 shining that. Jesus lions.
Yeah. And remember, guys, don't take life too serious because you'll never get out alive. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You'll be burned at the stake. So seriously, I think everyone should see this if you haven't. I'm pretty sure everybody has. But, you know, if you haven't seen this, go see it. And the second one, I'm excited. It's coming out next Friday. It's going to be awesome. You know, it's just – they're just fun. They're just dumb fun. You just got to love it. So good times.
All righty, Gigi. Well, thank you, Gigi, for another wonderful – it wasn't really horror this time, but inside the almost horror movie.
Mystical. It was mystical.
It was mystical. There you go.
It was physical.
On that note, thank you guys, and I'm going to go do some research. I'm going to back Sean up on this research project. So,
thank you. Thank you very much. I thought it was a hot topic. But
I have your back. I have your back. I mean, if one does research, we should all do research.
That's right. Hey, Sean, before we go to break, I want to take a chance to thank everybody in the chat room right now.
You want me to do this?
If you'd like to do it, or I can do it.
Let's do it. I'll go first, Nate. We got Kenny B of Pyra, the big man. We got Dale Clark from Louisville, Bobby T from Louisville. We got beautiful Prism Lisa, Ghost Chaser, Marcy, Ghost Man. That would be me. Nathan, that'd be you. Spanky McBubbles is in the house, or I like to call her McBoobles. And then let me go on down. We got Muldoon.
We got Sean P. We've got, what's this? Metha Dennis?
Meth Head. Dennis. I'm kidding.
And Brenda S. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to actually be listening to another song from Soul Dog this week because some people asked me about it last week. And they seem to like the band, and you can check them out at souldog.com or guitarviking.com.
All right, guys, stick around. Up next, you've seen it on the Sci-Fi Channel, Children of the Grave, Mr. Keith Age up next.
Have a good – we'll see you next week, Gigi.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you. Just when you thought you've seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2008, crawling with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of a Thousand Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Are you sweet thing? Are you little girl? Gather round. Are you sweet thing? Are you little girl? Gather round. Get down on your knees. If I bring your soul some pleasure, my darn, that sure ain't no crime.
two knowledges today.
His objective would be kill men.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his hands would disappear across his face.
It's really scary here. Everything about it is scary. The wood in the steel, our face is very short.
It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Hey, this is Uncle Bonehead from Local Loud and Proud on the Bush Radio, and you're listening to the original Bad Boys of the Paranormal, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You said it, Uncle Bonehead, we didn't. Hey, I just gotta say, Nate, was that song... those guys are red hot, first off. But was that song my theme song? Because it was like, hey, little girls, little women, gather round. Big Daddy's in town.
I played that song just for you, Sean.
I thought you did. I thought I want the band to travel with me. I need my own theme music. But I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, we got a hot night going on, guys. Children of the Grave premiered last Wednesday, of course, on the Sci-Fi Channel. We have one of the huge stars from that show, Mr. Keith Ace. He, not only is he a star of Children of the Grave, but the man can suck down a hoagie sandwich from Subway like no other man I've ever seen.
Well, when you're working on the road the way he is, you gotta learn to eat fast, man.
Yeah, I know. Keith, what's going on, brother?
How much what you guys doing on this Sunday night?
Same thing we're doing every Sunday night. I'm trying to ignore Sean.
He was actually trying to prank call you, but it didn't work. What's going on, Keith? Of course, anybody that knows anything about the paranormal community has just seen your beautiful, beautiful body on the Sci-Fi Channel last Wednesday. You were up there. You were in the big lights. And we want to know what goes on. What about Keith Ace? Tell us all. I want to hear the whole story. You are the president and founder of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society. How did you start that? Let's start there.
Well, I started in 1996, just trying to find other people that are like-minded, and started out with a couple members, and went from that to almost 4,000 now.
Wow. Well, I got to hang with them this weekend.
You know,
yeah, you got to hang with several of them, yeah.
One of the things I noticed, Keith, when I was reading your bio, is 30 years of experience. I mean, if you put Sean and my time in the paranormal together, we don't come to that. You and, say, yeah. John Zaffis are two of the few people who can boast that many years. I mean...
Yeah, February this year will be 30 years.
Wow. That is something.
That is something, to be doing this paranormal gig for all that time. Keith, and you've done so much. I mean, you started the LGHS, and if anybody that's been to the Mid-South Conferences of the Paranormal, oh, my God. That's all I got to say. And you got a big one coming up this September, man. Can you tell us anything about that, or is it going to be a big surprise?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking a little bit right now. We'll have more of it up on the website this week. But, yeah, this is our 7th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention. We have it every September. And we get a lot of people who comes to it. We've got some great guests coming. We've got Ryan Buell from Paranormal State coming. We've got Mr. Bob Honeycutt of Georgia Ghost Society. Bob's got some of the best ghost. I've been up for about 4 days now. He's got some of the best ghost evidence that he presents in his talks and lectures. And we've also got Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence coming. Mr. Jason Gowan, if you guys haven't seen or know who Jason Gowan is, he is hilarious and a great president. And listen, You think I look sexy? He looks even sexier in a black Spider-Man outfit.
I've seen him dance in that Spider-Man outfit. Keith?
Keith, you there?
Yeah, let's say, hold on a second, sorry.
He's been up for 4 days, folks. He's a paranormal rock star. You got to, I've heard about this lifestyle. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby.
I can tell Brad just sex and rock and roll now. Anyway, Gallon got Mr. Tim Yancey. We've got a bunch of Donald LaCroix from Ghost Hunters International coming. Keith and Sandra Johnson from Ghost Hunters coming. And we've got a few more surprises up our sleeves, and it's going to be even bigger than what it has been so far. Every year we grow a little bit more, and this year's going to be even bigger. Plus, we have huge party on Friday night.
Oh, God, I know I'll be there for that. Hey, Demon Hunter, hold on. I'm going to try to do Keith H. voice right now. Also, we're going to have the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. They'll be the highlight of the whole weekend, so don't miss it at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference.
Don't worry, Keith. No one will ever confuse him for you.
No. You got you guys coming. Got Doug and Scott coming from Ghost of Talk. Got Dave Schrader coming. I Am Haunted coming. Just like I said, a lot of great people just coming in all every year, and this year's even bigger.
I got to say, Keith Age is the only cat in the paranormal community that I know that puts on a conference where you can get a tattoo and listen to paranormal people talk at the same time.
Oh, please. The last tattoo I got was on a park bench. I don't need to get any more. It's
Well, that's what you
Well, then, our tattoo artist is coming back this year, too. So, he had so much fun doing everybody's tattoos last year. He said, let me come back.
So you know what? That just doesn't sound... That just doesn't sound good, Keith. Nate said he was on a park bench getting a tattoo.
Hey, I was at a biker rally. What, there was a guy there with a set of needles? I didn't know. I just...
You know what? I just got back off Dixie Highway today, Keith. I was down there, and I could smell you in Louisville. I could sense the presence of greatness, paranormal greatness, in the city of Louisville.
Well, that was 800 miles away.
But your aura was still there, Keith. Your aura was still there.
That was it.
Actually, he heard you were coming to town, Sean, and he figured he better get out.
I know. I called him. I was like, hey, Keith, I'm coming to town. He said, that's great. I'd buy you a drink, but I'm a freaking 100 miles away, so 800 miles, whatever. But you are actually in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, right now at the Ghost Dock. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there this year?
Oh, yeah. Great convention. Patrick Burns, those, a really good convention, and a lot of great speakers, and Don Oliver was there, Patrick, Tim Yancey, Bob Honeycutt, let's see, had a lot of people there. Kevin Reese Christian was there. Just, great speakers all day long. And, I put on 3 or 4 after-hours investigations. Patrick put on 32.
Man.
Now, hey, so, Keith, we haven't been able to negotiate our contract for the Ghostman Demon Hunter show appearing to the Mid-South this year, but I just want to tell you right now, the things we need is a panty, or a whole drawer full of edible panties, and a case of Guinness, ice cold. If you could do that, I will speak at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference.
And if Sean, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
Is it illegal to send loaded weapons through the mail?
I just wanted to tell everybody right now, do not grab Keith Age from behind because you will get shot with a .45. I got the bullet wound to show for it.
I do believe the comment by Keith Age, "I'll shoot you with my .45," is on Bonnie's top 10 favorite quotes of the year.
I'm going to put it on MySpace tonight. I shoot you with my .45, I kill you dead.
Yeah. No, I don't say shoot you with my .45. I'm too over, so I'll just shoot you.
Right.
But, you're right, though. No, don't come up behind me. And, matter of fact, Patrick, John Oliver, Tim Yancey, and myself did investigate the Savannah Theater down here, which is the oldest continuous theater in America. It was first opened in 1818. It's burned down several times. It's supposed to be haunted. And we actually got some great stuff out of it. At one point, we were upstairs in the balcony, and as you guys remember, Tim Yancey is not a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator like us. he doesn't want to be around the Stokes. You know, he's got his own radio show and was really involved with the Amityville Horror and everything. And this stuff scares him pretty much to death. And if you all remember down in Louisville, we went on the one, he stood behind me the whole time and was hanging on my vest all night long. You know, we were walking through. And I told him, I said, that's fine. You know, come along with me and Patrick. So just out hanging on my vest. And, you know, and as you know, I wear a thick leather vest. And, you know, it's heavy enough that I don't need a 200-pound man in there pulling on me all night long on the vest. And we were up on this balcony, and Patrick and I were talking to each other face-to-face. And something jerked on my vest. Patrick saw it jerk backwards. And I spun around swinging, thinking it's Tim. And when I swung, there was nobody there. So, you know, I almost did a complete 360. And Patrick's just like, what was that? So I'm like, all right, where's Yancey? Where's he at? So I'm yelling for Tim. And everyone went up to the balcony. All of a sudden I hear, I'm down here on the stage. So we didn't have anybody. Tim was, you know, by himself. So that, we had that happen with us. And then we got, like I said, we were up there on the, in the balcony, and the chairs are like 1940s style seats, and they actually slide and recline forward. You know, they're not like new chairs and seats today where you got to push the seat down. These things actually slide forward. And as John was walking around, he was saying, you know, I feel like there's some children and stuff here, and these chairs start sliding forward as he'd walk past them, like somebody's playing with it.
Oh, gee.
So Patrick got up here and went and put all the chairs back. And sure enough, as we walk back down again, all the chairs start sliding, one or two start sliding out again. So that's some pretty cool stuff.
Now, hey, Keith, with the we had the Children of the Grave came out Wednesday. Big deal. It was an awesome flick. I got to see it on Sci-Fi Channel as they were playing it.
I have the DVD.
oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I asked Keith, actually, for the DVD, and I got a signed autographed copy of Spooked that...
Hey, I am the host of both shows. It was my prerogative, damn it.
Yeah, and besides, Sean, I bought them both, so there.
Well, that's what I get for groping Keith age every time I get. But you know what, Keith? A big topic on this show, especially, is because you told me a long time ago, you said, brother, you live in Indiana. It's right in your backyard. You need to go out to Whispers Estate. Now, I don't know if you want to talk about it or not. But me and Nate's got the EVPs up that I captured that night. The stuff went down. Can you tell us what happened when you were filming Children of the Grave when you were out there? Because I know you told us a couple stories, and that place to me was just amazing.
Hey, before we go on, Sean, I just want to remind people that if they're calling in and they want to ask a question, once they're listening to the show on the line, they have to press 1-1 for me to know that they want to ask a question. Because some people call the line just to listen in. But, yeah, Keith, I've never got to go to Whispers, so I'm interested in knowing what went on at Whispers as well.
Ah, Julie Velasquez turned me on to that, and she said, you know, this is one of the only places she'd ever been to where you ask a question, you get an audible answer back. And sure enough, we were able to capture that. The first thing that happened was I did some sound testing. And we had an alarm that went up to 120 decibels. And so I turned this thing on, and I kept increasing it and turning it up louder and louder. And it's got an actual switch on that you have to physically turn counterclockwise to turn off, to turn it down, and turn it off. And finally, I got up to about 115 decibels, and everybody else is standing there holding their ears, and I'm yelling while we're filming this. I'm like, if you don't like it, do something about it. And about the time, I'll sit here, click. No more noise, no more nothing. This thing just turned off. And I was like, well, that was pretty cool. And we went on and on and on. And we're sitting there. And if you watch Chosen of the Grave, you'll actually hear one of the best disembodied voices that, I mean, you know, call an EVP or a voice or whatever would be my guess. We were trying to talk to Rachel, the little 12-year-old that supposedly haunts him. And we were saying, well, if there's anybody else here, you know, let us know you're here. And also we started hearing the baby cry. And it was captured on six different recorders, you know, from cameras to digital recorders. And, you know, I mean, we all heard it. And you actually hear me going, shh, oh, what's that, you know. And the cool thing about it is, in the backyard, you've got a 15-month-old baby that's buried in the backyard. You have the little girl, Rachel. She's buried back there. Her brother is buried back there. Grandpa is buried back there, but he died in 1946. And then in 1968, Grandma died. You know, I mean, you bury your dog, your cat, your pet fish, you know, your hamster in the backyard.
You don't bury your family.
You know? Yeah. So,
well, we won't say who Sean's buried in the backyard so far, but we've got somebody.
I know Keith's going in my backyard when he's going.
We've got somebody calling in with a question, Keith. Hold on 1 second. 502, you're on the line.
Ross.
Yeah.
What is this I hear about you being slightly inebriated doing karaoke? Born to be Wild. I've been getting down there.
Actually, I wasn't inebriated. Yeah, I wasn't inebriated. They've been trying to get Dave Schrader up all night to sing. He wouldn't do it. So finally he said, if Abe gets up and sings, I'll get up and do it. And Patrick said, please. So I got up and did Born to be Wild.
The rock and roll ghost hunter singing Born to be Wild. That had to be a pretty cool sight to
see. If anybody knows Keith like we do, he probably did it in the nude, guys. So.
It got straighter up, and he sang the Partridge Family's "Hey, I Think I Love You." You know.
Right. I like to do the Partridge Family myself in the nude when we go out on these paranormal conferences. I think you've seen it before, Keith. When we went to Decatur a couple times, you know.
No, I'm sorry. That was a blind in my eyes.
Whatever. You were clapping in the front row. I think they call that perverts row. I don't know.
I must have been really inebriated on that one.
Well, I got to say, Dale, while you're on the line, I just want to say thank you for the Louisville Ghost Hunters Society hospitality that was shown to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show last night at your house, brother. Thank you.
I think he just hung up, Sean, so he heard your thank you, but he's not going to get the chance to say thanks back.
Yeah, but well, that's all
that's
because
okay. I'll be back here. I'll be back in Louisville tomorrow, and I'll get the thanking properly.
Gonna shoot him with your 45.
Right now, Keith, these guys told me all night last night while I was hanging out there. They said, "Oh man, you got Keith on tomorrow night. We're gonna call in." Now we've had one person call in, Dale. Bobby T's supposed to be calling in. We got all these cats that said they were gonna call in and make fun of you. Now I guess it's up to me to make fun of you, and I got so much. I actually wrote it down here.
Don't worry, Keith. I've got the comment button for Sean already set up.
Yeah.
But you know what, Keith?
You get 3 seconds later, ready to go.
Before Sean starts having fun with you, Keith, I'd like to know, 30 years of experience in the paranormal, what got you started 30 years ago?
I just come off the road from playing in a band. And, of course, back then... I would show you some pictures, but I've got enough ridicule in my life. and I've got hair down to my rear end and the full beard, the whole nine yards. And,
will you send that to me for my MySpace profile pic?
Yeah, that I do. Anyway, met this young lady and started dating her, and I figured, time to meet mom and dad sooner or later, and she never would take me there, so I figured just the hair, you know, and the rock and roll. And come to find out, she's like, no, you can't come out because we have a ghost in the house. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, I got too many shrooms going here or something. And sure enough, on her next, her 70th birthday, like I said, so now, does that kind of give you how old I am now?
Hey, when you served served under General Lee in the Civil War, what was that like?
And we marched on Savannah, Atlanta. Boy, it was fun. Anyway, we went over for her birthday party, and she's like, "Look, this thing doesn't like my boyfriend. That's why I don't ask him to come over," and yada yada. And I, at that point, wasn't into this stuff. So we sat down on the couch, and I could see down the hallway into her mom and dad's bedroom, which was the master bedroom. They had a mirror there, and there'd be something that moved across. You know, I'd see it out of the corner of my eye and across the mirror. And because it broke my field of vision with me and her. And I got up and checked out the room. There's nobody in there. She's like, well, that's him. That's our ghost. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, right. Somebody's really messing around with us. So finally I got up here and started taunting this thing and calling it out. And, you know, it's really, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. So as I went to kiss her goodnight at the front door from inside the house, it was just me, her, and her father, who was on the other side of the room in a recliner, and I went to kiss her goodnight. Next thing I know, I felt my left arm just kind of get, just long, and I'm hearing busting wood and glass. And
the shotgun getting loaded?
Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm laying out in the front yard on my back, 6 feet away from the front porch. And I'm kind of going, okay, fingers, toes, legs, everything's working here. Nothing's broke. And then I'm like, that was the coolest thing that ever happened in my life. So that's the short version of it. So that's how I got started into it.
Hey, I think we've got one of those other people on the line here you were talking about, Sean.
Probably Dale. He said he was calling back in.
Is that you, Dale?
Yeah, it's me. You're welcome. Anytime you want to come down. Boss, you know, like I said, I'm already getting an email. Apparently you had a good time this weekend.
Yeah, it was a good time, and met a lot of new friends and new people that will be showing up in Louisville in September.
Well, I got to say, Dale, next time I'm in town, if you could shower when I'm there, that would be...
Hey, Sean, you don't shower. You don't have any right to ask anybody else to.
I know.
Now, you done had your bath in May, man.
Hey, Dale, you've gotten to go out with Keith. What's it like to ghost hunt with the man?
Not after the hunt, during the hunt. We know what happens after.
I have learned so much. I can't even begin to describe the LJHS has become my second family. You know, I tell you what, I've been out with the conventions that we do. We've had people come in from all over the country, big names, little names, it doesn't matter. He's the best.
Right, but I got to say one thing, Dale, while you're on the line. Not only is Keith, he's the Big Mac. Everybody loves Keith. I know I do. I got his tattooed his face on my back. But Dale was actually on the movie, too. Children of the Grave, Demon Hunter. I don't know if you knew that. But,
which
was
your favorite place to go to that was on the film, Dale?
And I just got to say, I've never seen somebody on camera where their nipple rings poke through their T-shirt so much. I loved it. I was excited.
Hey, you know how people sit there and call Kentuckians rednecks?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Hey, I'm right down the street from you. I'm right down the street.
Well, that's okay. Well, yes, sir. We're going to show you the meaning of Kentucky Redneck and Kentucky Justice.
There you go. Can I watch?
Oh, sure. And if you think I'm redneck, Dale lives out on Dixie Highway. There you go.
I know. I was out there last night, Demon Hunter. Believe me, you wouldn't have made it back.
He grew up in Dixie, so, you know.
So, Dale, what was your favorite place from Children of the Grave to go hunting at?
The part I was in was Whispers. I mean, it's just fantastic.
It was.
And back to the Kentucky Justice thing, I just want to say that I've seen Sean doing this impression of Ned Beatty real soon.
Squeal like a pig, boy. Squeal. You know what? Something tells me Keith Age will actually be present for this.
Oh, hell, we're going to have a video camera going for YouTube. Are you kidding?
But you know what? A lot of people, guys, don't know that Keith Age not only... is the cat, I mean, just a model of the paranormal groups. He started the LGHS. The guys got it together, man. Keith is one of the most down-to-earth people you ever want to see. I can tell Keith's blushing right now. But he can rock out, dude. You know what I'm saying? He can rock out. I went to see him and his band play the night I went down. So not only when Keith invites you out to go to a haunted location, you get to go see him play live somewhere. And I got to tell you, I was actually seeing double by the end of his set, but I think he was playing really great. I loved it.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, hey, Keith.
No, I still have fun. Like I said, I still play with my band, and, you know, we like to have fun and enjoy, you know.
Where can, which of those sites that you went to on Children of the Grave can people actually get out to and go to themselves to do some investigating?
Oh, yeah. In Missouri, on Zombie Road, you have to get a hold of Greg Myers, and he can help. Because you got to remember, number one cardinal rule in ghost hunting is you don't go someplace you're not welcome to, and you don't trespass. Especially since that's federal land, and there's been a lot of people who died out there. Not just kids. I mean, the majority of it was children, but, you know, people murdered, and yeah, they still have a lot of strange things that happen out there. I mean, if you watch the movie, you heard the cop sit there and tell me he wouldn't go out there at night. And he said, you know, he goes, I'd be worried. And I'm like, should I be? He goes, I would. And I said, can you give me any advice? What should we take or anything with? He goes, big guns. You know, so don't just go out there on your own. You know, and the Pythian, I don't know if it's open right now or not, It was pretty cool, and it's also in Missouri. Crown Hill Cemetery in Indiana, you know, it's a federal cemetery, so, you know, I wouldn't be doing the trespassing thing too much, you know.
Sean's taking me there.
Sean
took me out there to the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And it was really neat when it was on Sci-Fi Channel. I was sitting there with Chrissy P going, I've been there. I have been there. I've stood on that hill. And when the Whispers Estate came up, I looked at it and said, I was supposed to go there, but Sean took somebody else. So.
But you know what? I just got to say, actually, Nathan, that Keith just said a mouthful. You guys shouldn't trespass. But you know what? Keith doesn't like me very much, and I trespass on his backyard all the time. So.
Which will be his legal excuse when he shoots you with the 45.
You love me, Keith.
Oh yeah.
So Keith, I want people to be.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you guys just a little bit of a scoop here, and I don't know how many people know it, but the day before Children of the Grave aired, Variety magazine reported it, and so I'll let you guys hear it. We have a 3-year deal now with Sci-Fi for Children of the Grave 2 and several other ones to bring out, and so you're gonna be the first to put that on radio.
Very cool. How a number 2, and will it, like, it's a 3-year contract, but is it a 3-year contract for more than just one movie, or is that all that we get to know about so far?
Well, it's 3 years for them to be able to play Spooked in Children of the Grave plus Children of the Grave 2, and we got a few other things lined up that really can't talk about yet.
Well, that's very cool. You know, Sean got to have a big role in that Children of the Grave. He stood there at the end and raised his arms.
I was about 3 sheets of the wind, and Keith came over and said, "Get in the picture. We need extras."
We had already kicked him out of the room because we were ghost hunting. It was the most haunted hotel we'd been in, and we were like, "Oh, Sean, go get another drink."
A lot of people go, you know, they recognize the Crescent Hotel, but you know, we weren't actually hunting at the Crescent Hotel. We were all there for a convention, and since we were all there, you know, it was just perfect to get up there and do a lot of the interviews and use it as a backdrop. But the Crescent's really cool.
That we had a lot of fun at the Crescent with you guys. We really did.
Well, you know
I heard somebody's birthday party was pretty cool, too.
Keith, actually, Demon Hunter, Keith hasn't called me back since the night we spent alone at the Crescent Hotel.
Well, you got to remember, we shot all night long. I had the flu, and I needed a cigarette desperately at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I got up here, and I had to go out on the roof to smoke a cigarette, and it was so foggy you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And that's when I almost walked right off the roof. Remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think I walked off with you. It's like Thelma and Louise. Yeah. You just held hands and walked right off.
You know, we're going to have to wrap in just a second, Keith, but I just wanted to recap my favorite story of that weekend was Sean and I walking up, and you were standing in front of the fireplace, and we wanted to get a picture taken of the fireplace with Sean and I in front of it. And we walked up, and we said to you, you know, it was our first month on the air, I believe, at that point. Nobody knew who Sean and I were. And we walked up to Keith and we said, "Hey, Keith, can we get a picture in front of the fireplace?" And Keith wrapped his arms around him and said, "Just one, I'm kind of busy." And they stopped the picture, and I looked at Keith and I said, "Thanks, Keith, but we really just wanted a picture of us."
I wanted a picture next to Keith. I don't know about
Well, that's become one of our best pictures. We put it on everything now, the picture of us with Keith.
I know. We use you for PR, Keith.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take it. If I can help you out, well, you know that.
Hey, Keith, where can people find Children of the Grave now and your Louisville website?
There you go. Louisville, LouisvilleGHS.com. Or you can go to childrenofthegrave.com and order DVDs through there. And I can actually get signed, autographed ones from me and the Booth Brothers there, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Keith. I think we got to wrap up, and I'm sure you want to get some rest. You've been awake for days now.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the airport at 3 a.m.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Keith.
We love you,
Keith. Thank you, guys. I love you both.
All right, now.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, Sean. Keith Age.
Oh, you can't beat that, brother. Keith Age, the big Louisville Ghost Hunter man, started him himself. But I got to tell you what, little brother, up next, we got another cat from Children of the Greg, the big man, Gregory Myers. He's going to sit down and talk with us about all the stuff that he uses with the Paranormal Task Force tonight.
Sounds ready for good. That? Sounds good. Stick we'll be right back.
Stick around.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy, sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
I then reach out, touch a ghost with my hand, and lock him into place until I choose to let him go.
Join us on a real-life ghost hunt with Dr. Gary Hawkins and his team of investigators.
Yeah. It was going in the opposite way, like yeah. That. That's freaky.
It came from behind you. How the heck did it come from behind you?
To make that kind of shadow, there is no... The only light is from that way.
That was amazing. There was no light. The camera's facing the same direction it is now. It couldn't have been. I mean, there could have been no shadow passed behind. Unless it wasn't something that normally creates a shadow.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I can't explain it. That was weird.
That's the spirits of the Rockcliff Mansion. Seeing is believing.
Buy online. shop.ezproductions.net.
Hi, I'm Laura Laddick of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Well,
now, Demon, who was that little vixen voice I heard on the commercial there? I missed it. I was talking to Greggy.
That would be Laura Laddick, who was on our show last year and is the founder of the New Jersey Ghost Society.
Has she ever wrote back and said if she was going to ask me to marry her or not?
No, I don't think she ever wrote you about that, Sean.
Well, I did propose on the air, Laura, so we're waiting.
Sean's waiting for the answer to a lot of proposals, but...
I think a proposal at every chick that comes on the show, but I got to tell you what, little brother, this has been an exciting night so far. What a show, guys. Children of the Grey premiered last Wednesday. We just spoke with Keith Age, and the best guy you ever want to meet in the paranormal, the next best guy you ever want to meet in the paranormal is Greg Myers, okay, guys? And he's from the Paranormal Task Force, and he's here with us tonight. Greg, welcome to the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, brother.
Hey, welcome, and I thank you much.
Do I have to say Happy Mother's Day to you, or...
I was going to say Happy Mother's Day to you, but I don't think that would apply. I know a couple people, you know, they said you were a mother or something. No.
So you've been talking to the ex-wife, huh?
You know, I originally thought about getting a few different moms who were in the paranormal to come on the show tonight and talk about how it is to be a mom in the paranormal. And then Children of the Grave came on, and I said, well, you know, what choice do I really have? I have to bring on some of the stars of Children of the Grave, and I called Greg, and he was generous enough to come on tonight.
You know what, Greg? I really got to send the ex-wife a letter of thank you, because she's given me so much material for the show. I mean, Satan. I mean, the ex-wife has never been so helpful in all my years. You know what I mean? She's been great. But, you know, we wanted to talk to you about this Children of the Grave, brother. You look good. You look hot. You look sexy. We've seen you on the big screen Wednesday night. And you did this. You're the president and founder of the Paranormal Task Force. And I seen you guys at the Crescent Hotel. And I just got to tell our listeners right now, you are the sharpest dressed people in the paranormal community right now. And I mean the way you guys dress, you guys seem like you got it all together. I mean, there's so much stuff I want to ask you. But how did you start the Paranormal Task Force?
Well, the Paranormal Task Force stemmed from Missouri Paranormal Research, which was another group that I became involved with and actually became the co-administrator. Back in 2006, we founded Paranormal Task Force as like an umbrella division or an umbrella of the divisions, and then we you know, we're still keeping Missouri Paranormal Research as our normal haunting and research division, and we added other divisions under that umbrella.
Well, you know, Keith, yours was one of the first sites that I ever went to, and when I was going through it, saw ghost weather on the site. What is ghost weather for folks out there?
Well, it's just basically the environmental conditions which can affect the activity, you know, on a given night. Your lunar cycle, you also have your solar activity, your geomagnetic storm activity of the Earth, and then your normal weather conditions.
Now, one of the things I really am interested in that fact is the fact that a storm coming in can create a positive ionized field.
Right.
And it's been proven that positive ionized field, those ions are running around looking for other ions to connect to them, and they can drain your batteries, especially with video cameras.
They drain my battery, I know that.
Well, this creates that environmental condition, too, which helps the battery, you know, discharge quicker.
Exactly. And a lot of people who might be in a field and see their battery drain really fast might immediately think, there's a ghost appearing, my battery's being drained, where it's actually the storm rolling in.
Right, and that could be the case with the environmental conditions. It's not always a little battery vampire coming up that's a ghost.
Right. Now, Greg, I want to ask you, I've been out with several chicks on dates and stuff, you know. Have you ever been out with one that just drains you completely? I want to know, is that paranormal or what? Because I've had some conversations with these women, and I got to tell you, man, they just drain me dry. You know, they suck the man juice right out of me.
Before you answer that there, Greg.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I just don't want the nasty letters coming in. They can all go to Sean. But
we was talking about this, Greg. He's an enlightened cat. He's done this for a while. I have all the respect in the world for you, Greg, and the Paranormal Task Force guys. And we were reading something earlier, Greg, about why are ghosts seen wearing clothes? And I think this was something with, it was with our buddy of the show, Jeff Bellinger. He brought this up, and it was talking about high levels of electromagnetic energy can cause people to have vivid dreams and nightmares and even hallucinate. So what is your take? I'm just interested. What is your take on why ghosts appear in clothing?
Well, I think they appear as they once were or were comfortable with. There are some hauntings. I know at least in our area here, there's a location where actually there is supposed to be a ghost without clothing. I haven't checked that one out yet.
Well, okay, where's that out? Do you have a map you could send me? Or?
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Because Sean wants to check that guy out.
No, that's terrible.
It's around the St. Louis area. It's actually a park area, I believe.
That's great. It's not a rest area, is it? Oh, man, I'm just saying. But you know what? You did Children of the Grave. And you were out there, and everybody wants to know. The chat room's going crazy. Everybody wants to know about Zombie Road. What can you tell us about the history of Zombie Road?
Zombie Road, the history goes back centuries. It was originally a Native American area because it was about the only area where they could transverse down through the bluffs easily and across the river. And plus, it afforded ample quarry areas for their chert and other materials to make their tools. So going back to that far, you would have that distinct history of Indian wars and other brutal things that happened. And coming up through modern time, there were civil war skirmishes in the area. And further up, when they started bringing in the railroad in the mid-1800s, they started getting the railroad workers down there. It became like a violent area. There were deaths in that during that time frame.
Yeah.
And ever since, it's been plagued. We've documented every year several deaths within that area. It might not be right on the road, but it's within a small circumference of it. And it's probably one of the most active locations that I've been in. I would classify it as an outdoor Waverly Hills.
Wow. Well, I know one of the greatest evidence on the Children of the Grave was, of course, the shadowy figures of the children coming out of the tree line.
Right.
And that one cap. Yeah.
And the first time we went down there on the investigation, actually, I think that was back in 2005. And we took some of the neighboring business people with us who were complete skeptics and didn't believe in ghosts. And I even joked around. I said, this is going to be like Winnie the Pooh looking for, you know, a ghost in 100 Acre Woods.
Right,
and,
right.
And within 45 minutes and maybe a mile, mile and a half down, everyone in the group witnessed a shadow person, shadow apparition, whatever you want to call them, transcend the side of a bluff, a small bluff area, stopped in the middle of the road, and then took off in the woods. And those skeptics were just sitting there with their mouths hanging open for like 5 or 10 minutes, shining their little flashlights everywhere. And then one of them just turned to me and he goes, "What in the F was that?"
Right. So, now, does anybody know why those children are out there, Greggy?
Well, it's a mixture. I think it's children and also maybe some that aren't children. I think from the tragic deaths that have occurred over, you know, the decades and centuries going back, the Merrimack River is bordering to that. And as you saw from that, in Native language, that means the River of Death. And that it holds up to that standard today. There are, like, dozens of drownings each year in that river. And right in that area alone, I think it was last year that, you know, 5 or 6 children drowned right around the Zombie Road area as well.
Now, 2 quick things there, Greg, I want to ask you. One, first, thank you for reminding people that they shouldn't say the F word on the show. But secondly, Keith was mentioning earlier that Zombie Road has a lot of dangers around it, and people should really get permission and make sure that there's somebody with them to go out there.
Oh, yeah, it's both physically dangerous. I would put it in the category possibly paranormally dangerous. And besides that, there are some entities involved with that area, including the state. So trespassing fines are quite hefty, like around the $250 mark in certain areas.
And there are people out there who might do you harm, so you should really...
Right, and you still have the factor of the drugs being, you know, with the kids with drugs in the woods sometimes. And the ritualistic stuff, we think, has subsided. There hasn't been no recent evidence of that. But that's
well, you know, Nathan doesn't have a problem with that, Greg. He actually goes out to park benches and waits for people to come up and tattoo him.
Hey,
I didn't wait. I saw the tattoo artist there. I wanted a tattoo. But the the other question I had for you, Greg, is, you know, Zombie Road, any zombie sheep out on that road? Shadow zombie sheep out there?
No, I haven't seen those zombie sheep.
Oh.
Hey, and I know Sheep Man from LGHS was asking about that too, so.
Yeah.
Well, zombie sheep. Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is the home for zombie sheep, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take a look around and we'll get down there again, but that's one area that it could produce one phenomena after another, from shadow people to spook lights that's moving through the woods. We've had times where people got grabbed by the unseen, even the males and females in private areas. People have seen full apparitions down there, and the list just goes on and on.
And see, Greg, that's why I begged you to take me with you when you went out there last time, you know? Where I can do some grabbing.
Well, next time you're on, we'll let you know.
I don't know, Sean. It'll give if Keith is with him, it might give him an excuse to shoot you with that .45. But
the Booth brothers would be like, "What is that bright light over there?" They'd be like, "Well, that's Keith's .45 shooting Sean."
But you have to watch out because there are some dangerous areas where you could drop off the side of a bluff into the river and everything else. So it is a physically challenging area as well.
Well, if there's any holes, Nathan will fall in them because we went out to get it. Again, there was like a 3-foot ditch and he fell right in it. He was the only person.
Wow. Yeah, that's this type of area is one that people want to be careful in. They can legally visit it during the daytime up until sunset.
Well,
you know, there are parks, trails at the bottom of it and everything else. So it is an area that some people can go to during the daytime if they do want. And we have had encounters during the daytime. If you watch like the movie Predator and you see like those vaporous apparitions, this is one area that possibly gives me the theory that the shadow entities at night might appear as those heat vaporous forms during the daytime, because we've actually seen them as well during the day that look just like a human, that have the limbs on them, the head, and everything else.
Now, do you think it's heat vapor as that's what they're appearing as, or there's heat vapor and you can see them in it?
No, I think that's just the way I describe them, like vaporous, like the heat waves off the highway.
Okay.
You know, it could be a refraction of light or some other form of energy that makes them appear that way, but that's just the way they appear.
Now, what kind of equipment did you take out to Zombie Road and on these other places you went to?
Well, with our group, you know, we used a basic realm of equipment, the EMF detectors, the camcorders, the digital and film. You know, we love integrating both analog and digital into things, so we do that with audio and also with cameras. and radiation detectors, and we use some old school stuff too, like compasses. And some people might use dowsing rods from time to time as an experiment just to see if it correlates with some of the other equipment. And then when Keith came along, of course, he brought down the thermal imager, and, you know, they brought some other stuff with them as well, like the laser grid set up and now, things of that nature.
How does a radiation detector work with ghost hunting?
Well, that goes back to the Entity case back in California, where they had that in a controlled environment for a while. And in that case, they actually started using the radiation detectors, and they noted that during the manifestation of activity, the actual radioactivity levels would drop. And then further, I believe other people experimented, and it's like EMF. Sometimes you'll get a drop, sometimes you'll get a rise, depending on your ambient. And it works about the same way. So it makes you wonder, though, on some of those that increase, you know, it makes me want to take like a pocket dosimeter or something just to maybe log, you know, over doing so many hauntings, you know, to levels that some people could expose themselves to.
So what is that last thing you just said, a pocket
dosimeter? In the military, that's what you would carry on you that would log your collective radiation exposure over a duration of time.
Okay. So kind of like one of those patches people wear when they go into a building and if it changes color.
Right. But this would actually do your readings, you know, on whatever levels it reads in, and we keep track.
Now, does that
It's kind of funny because it's like my nicotine patch. When I wear it on most investigations, it lights up bright purple. It's,
Well, you're not supposed to wear six of them at one time, Sean.
And then you see things if you wear more.
Well, you can't always smoke, you know? What are you going to do?
Of course, he puts on the nicotine patch, and then when everybody walks outside for a cigarette, he's with them, so he does see a lot of stuff that night.
Stuff does go down.
For your listeners out there, if they're interested in the Zombie Road area alone, we do have a domain that goes to that area on our website, and that's zombieroad.com. If they want to find out more about it.
Hey, Greg, out of all the places you did in your lifetime, not just with Children of the Grave, but all the places you've done, can you tell us like a crazy story that happened to you? One of the best places you've been where you've got some crazy activity that nobody would believe even if you told them?
Probably the Old Diamonds Restaurant on Route 66 in Villa Ridge, Missouri, which was later named to Detroit County Truck Stop. In the basement there, it's one of the few...
Nathan's probably been there.
I think that's where I met Sean.
It's a very historical place. It's also closed now. They had a little bit of an asbestos problem, so the building's been vacated for about a year or longer. But in the basement there, we had one night in the basement. We had an incandescent light bulb thrown at about four of us, and we figured it had to come from about 40 to 50 foot back in the basement because this is a humongous building and no one was down there. The same night, captured on video, was a very strange shadow apparition. We had someone else in the bathroom at about 2 in the morning that something manifested next to him in the urinal and installed next to him, and he actually peed on his foot in the wall.
And that sounds like Nathan, actually, on the investigation.
It just goes on, and that's where we captured our Tom did when he had his camera set in the basement on tripod. After investigators on the first floor saw it, it was actually like a blue, like a blue humanoid translucent apparition is walking around in the kitchen. It disappeared, reappeared again, and then it transcended into a stainless steel prep table into the basement below. And people heard noises down there, and then when they got down there, a couple of the cameras were actually off. Well, we don't know what caused that, but one of the last things on one of the cameras aimed the right way was actually this blue apparition just coming down and walking in front of the camera.
Holy
so that's
right.
Probably the most bizarre place and probably the most active place I've ever been in.
Hey, Greg, I got to ask you a question because you were in Children of the Grave and you're very familiar with the Whispers of State case. Have you guys ever made it out there?
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was a very interesting place. We actually had activity the night I was there. Some of that was captured with Children of the Grave. Some of the EVPs with like the Follow Me EVP and the other one with like the baby doll type sounding noise.
Well, you know what? It sounds like a little baby doll. Well, me and the Ghostman Demonhunter show went out there. We actually did a live broadcast from that place after Keith was telling us about it when you guys went out there and stuff. So I said, well, heck, that's in my backyard because I'm from Indianapolis. So I went on down to Mitchell, Indiana, and I booked a room for the entire weekend. And I sat there Friday night. I got nothing. Nothing happened. Nice, quiet evening. I was with Jarrett Marshall, the owner at the time.
Hey, he's a great guy.
He is awesome. Jarrett was top notch. And, of course, Van owns the place now. I forget his last name, but there's a new owner. And, guys, that place is open, and they are taking requests at www.whispersestate.com. You guys can go stay there. Yes, it is open. Everybody thought it was out of business for a while. But I know it was me and one other person in that place with Jarrett, Greggy. And we were talking to him that night. It was three guys talking. There was nothing going down. And it broke loose, I would say, about 1 a.m. And I sung Ring Around the Rosie. And after Ring Around the Rosie, we were just talking, and he said, you know, maybe you should try to sing it again because that gets Rachel riled up. So I sung it again, and I stopped in between. I was like, Ring Around the Rosie, and I would pause because I didn't know, you know, what was going down. But what I heard when I was done, and that's actually, guys, you can get that at actually you can get it at our MySpace page, Ghostman Demon Hunter Show MySpace page. I have all those, Demon Hunter put those EVPs up. But, Greg, what I heard was a girl screaming upstairs down at me. I could hear her at the top of the stairs, and I know there's a lot of people that are out there right now in the community. They say it could be faked. There could be some things going on. Guys, I'm not saying anything. All I'm telling you is what I felt that night, what I smelt that night. I've been doing this for 12 years. I am not a professional, but I have seen a lot of stuff, and I am very skeptic to things. And what I seen, man, and what I heard was Rachel, or a little girl, actually responding to the song. She said, Ring Around My House? That's where it started.
Oh, wow.
And then after. Yeah, and then after that, it picked up and to where the whole house voices were screaming. I mean, it was like fight or flight. It happened. I was actually shocked at the moment where it happened. The whole house just lit up with screams and laughter and everything, where the actual window panes in this old house were shaking. And you know what? I don't know what to say. That's there. That right there is what it is. I mean, I heard it. I documented it. I recorded it, and I put it up on our MySpace page. And that's all I can do as a ghost hunter. You know.
Well, when we filmed there, you know, Keith and the local, you know, they're more local to that area, so they went back home. And Jared was nice enough to put myself and some others up for the night from PT up there. And I slept down in the first floor, I believe, where the doctor's area was.
Yeah,
and I woke up in the middle of the night after hearing like a bowling ball sound go across the roof. And I
yes.
woke up choking, and I had that, like, smelled a burning smell, and I had that burn taste all over in my, you know, throat and my mouth.
Wow.
Well, I got to tell you, you know about the Jackson balls. She liked to play Jackson balls a lot of the time. Well, I went to the bathroom. I was probably gone 2 seconds, and you know in those old houses, the doors are always misshaped. So underneath the door, Greg, they had like a 3-inch, right there in that room you stayed in. You know the downstairs bathroom?
Room, yeah.
Yeah, they had that little, like, 3-inch gap underneath the door from the floor.
Yeah.
Well, I went in there, and I walked right in there. I had no socks on, no shoes, no nothing. There was nothing in the doorway. I closed the door. I used the restroom, and as I washed my hands and came back out, there was a jack, three jacks, and a rubber ball underneath the door.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they were right there.
So you guys had a good experience there, too, then.
It was amazing. And then the next night, Sunday night, there was nothing that happened until we went to bed, and Myself and Doug from Ghostly Talk were up there. We were getting ready to go to bed, and we heard two men having an argument in the upstairs foyer, in the bathroom upstairs. So I don't know. I don't know, Greg. Was it the greatest paranormal experience of my life? Possibly. I don't know.
Hey, Greg, we're going to have to wrap up in a second, but before we do...
Oh, wow, that was quick.
Yeah, I know. 30 minutes goes fast.
Yeah, that's true.
But I want people to know where they can find your information. I know we've got your information up for them to go to the ParanormalTaskForce.com, but is there any place else they can go to find your stuff?
Well, the same place, too, which is easiest, would be CatchMyGhost.com.
CatchMyGhost.com.
One to remember. And also, that's the same thing on MySpace and also on I Am On It.
Very cool. So, Greg, where are people going to be able to see you and meet you and talk to you anytime soon?
Well, actually, we're going to be doing some workshops out at the McPike Mansion in Alton, Illinois, is the first series set up. And that's going to be, I believe, on July 18th and 19th for that weekend, Friday and Saturday. So that might be something they want to check out. Come to our event page or go to the McPikeMansion.com website. And we're also setting some others up. I don't know what conventions. I'm going to go over and hang out at Charlie's convention, America Ghost Conference 1, over in Decatur coming up in June.
Well, very
cool. We'll see you there, baby.
We'll be seeing you there.
Yeah, I'll be seeing you guys there if you're there.
So, Greg, can you hold on for 1 minute while Sean and I wrap up?
Yeah, sure.
Stay on the line while we take this time to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Okay, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
That's right.
It's Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. We love you. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget, wow, there's a jet flying by the studio right now, Sean. But don't forget to check out the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter podcast at Planet Paranormal, Podcast Alley, Podomatic, iTunes, Blueberry, Metafly, Podbean, Podcast Pickle, Pod Planet, the Pod Feed Network, and many more. So you can
pickle
check
pipe, all Picker Pepper.
That's right. You can check all those out, and you can check out our. You can listen in next week when our guest will be Sean. You said
That's
it
right.
last week, and it was
Brad. Brad and Sherry Steiger, guys. They're author and co-author of 162 books, guys. It ranges from ghost to werewolves to all things unexplained next Sunday on the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. And we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you. Good night.
Good night.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.